So we going?
We are.
What's up? This is Movies on Up. Work sucks. Speaking of sucks, and the opposite of, my co-host, Mr. Ryan. I don't know what I meant to say there.
No,
I mean, he doesn't suck.
Good enough. Do not suck. Do not bite.
I am Dave. I also probably suck, but maybe not. Who knows? Our tagline for this week, work sucks. If you know what movie that's from, hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, and Twitter @moviesonup. If you're right and we pick you, we will deliver a Movies on Up prize package to your home place or your office space, whichever address you give us. This week, the new Julia Garner movie, The Assistant, comes out in theaters, where she
is an assistant.
Is an assistant, and I guess probably some sexy, not sexy, but like sexual assault stuff, seems like, from the trailer. But before we dive into this, I want to go into where my thought process was, because there might be a twist.
Our thought process for what? I don't think we've explained
no.
What our list
for
is
where this came from when I did
okay,
the calendar.
Okay, all right.
So I'm hopping along one day, and I'm following the Twitter, and then it's like, oh, trailer for a new Julia Garner movie. All right, I'll watch that. Then at night, laying down, putting a random movie on Amazon, and I saw The Firm with Tom Cruise. I hadn't watched it in forever. So I flip it on, and I thought, wow, these are two movies about people that thought they were working one place, but it turned into completely different. And then I happened to do the calendar for the next, we do months ahead, and I thought, huh, that's a good idea. There's two movies just in one day. And then I immediately thought of like my number one. Oh, yeah, that and my number four. That's two movies. That's a good list. So I put it down. And then last week I tried to explain it to Ryan and I'm still on board. And then last night I sat down to do the list and I had my number one that immediately came to mind. My number four that I had already mentioned. And then I was trying to think of more. And I thought of the one, The Assistant, that I haven't seen yet, just the trailer. So sometimes I'll come up with a list idea and realize, like, oh, that's a little more difficult than I originally thought.
I had four movies, my 5, 4, 3, and 1, already locked in when I was sitting at the table here. It was
as I explained it.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was some work to try and come up with one more movie because I knew some of the ones you were going to pick, and I tried to stay away from them. But I think this is, it's either a really narrow genre or we just weren't very
thinking
creative.
Wide enough. Yeah. Because like what I ended up going with really didn't really fit that Firm or The Assistant. My one did, the first one that came to mind, but the rest were just not so much different workplace than you expected, just the job was different than you expected.
There's a high potential for crossover, or we just won't even be in the same
yeah,
ballpark.
Yeah, and I did leave one off. Because it's very similar. It's basically just an old version of my number one, and I assumed you would have it. So I left it off. If not, it'll get mentioned in Also Rans. But
the
Ryan,
oldest movie I have is from 1997.
Okay. Then Wall Street didn't make either
did
of
not.
Our lists.
No.
So maybe I'll throw it in there if there's crossover. So stay tuned. But till then, Ryan, your number five favorite misleading workplace movie?
Is from 2015, directed by Brian James O'Connell. It is Bloodsucking Bastards, starring Fran Kranz, Pedro Pascal, and Joey Kern. Kranz and crew find out their boss's secret while they're pulling an all-nighter trying to work on a presentation. They're a bit slackers, so like the crew from Office Space, that's probably going to be mentioned a couple times this episode. It's already been mentioned once. I don't necessarily think it fits for the list, but I think it's a standard for workplace movies. So a lot of these movies start there with that premise. Here's the dynamic of this office. You know, these guys don't particularly take their job seriously. They're playing video games. They're smoking wacky tobacco, all that stuff. In the midst of all those hijinks, those after-hours hijinks at the office, they find out that their bosses are actually vampires, and they have this insidious plot to turn a good portion of the rest of the office into the undead as well. It's a completely throwaway movie that has some pretty decent action into it. The third act, even for someone that's very into horror, it delivers on what you come to see. Lots of blood, lots of cool vampire deaths. It's funny-ish. I mean, it's certainly
some solid laughs.
Yeah,
there. Occasionally.
It is they're not going to change your life as far as movies go. This was one that came to mind relatively quickly because their bosses were not who they thought they were. So even if the job was not entirely different.
That one's a good one. It's an enjoyable enough movie. Yeah. Like it's one
a good
of the,
number five.
Yeah, it's a solid number five or a good also-ran. Belko Experiment came to mind, which I hope it doesn't come up later, but it, maybe it
will. It
does.
Immediately, next.
That came to mind, but I didn't think of this one. I just forgot about it. My number five, you know, sometimes you go to a job and it's different than what you thought it was, or you feel different about it. Or occasionally you go to and you get a job that feels mundane, and then all of a sudden, sexual awakening time. And that's what happened in Stephen Schoenberg's Secretary from 2002, starring James Spader and Maggie Gyllenhaal. Maybe I cheated on this, but just she got out of a mental institution.
Spoiler alert, if you've cheated, I've cheated as well.
Oh, okay, that's fine. She gets out of a mental institution, just trying to look for any job, and then gets with Christian Grey, pre-Christian Grey. Turns out, like, mommy like that. So it's an interesting movie. I don't want to say it's good or bad. I like Maggie Gyllenhaal. I like James Spader. It gives both of them plenty to do. I liked this movie enough to put it my number five.
I'll put it as my number four, just to continue talking about it. It was not that much higher up my list. Jeremy Davies shows up as, like, the regular kind of boyfriend that Gyllenhaal's character Lee gets during the movie. You hit the nail on the head. It is very much 50 Shades light in that it's a girl experiencing this BDSM relationship with, in this case, a guy that is her boss. I mean, Christian Grey becomes Anna's boss when he buys whatever publishing thing she's doing. But it does seem more like they're really trying to show someone coming to grips with a BDSM relationship rather than trying to titillate with the idea of what these things are. The way this movie treats that, it's very much for the pleasure of James Spader's character, who, I don't know if it's typecasting or what, but whenever there's some weird sexual stuff in movies, James Spader is not far to be found from that. Like a Crash.
If there's a corpse that needs boning.
Yep, he'll do
it. Call the spade.
Of all the movies on my list, generally when you find out, and the twist here was she finds out that her boss is a bit of a pervert, does she like it? Most of when the twists come, when Fran Kranz finds out that his bosses are vampires, that's not a good thing. They're not generally happy about that. But for this movie, it kind of is. She's has the ability to take stock of this relationship, find out if that's what she wants to do moving forward. So, yeah, it wasn't what she had in mind when she took the job, but it didn't necessarily make it a bad thing, which is a bit of an anomaly on this list.
I have another one that's a little higher that I have a feeling might be crossover that's similar without the sex stuff and the opposite. So we'll get to that. But
I don't even know what the fuck that means.
My number four has been mentioned already. The birth of this list came from The Firm from 1993, directed by Sidney Pollack, based on a John Grisham movie. That's already screaming like early 90s.
Yes.
But then you want the early 90s of early 90s cast. Tom Cruise, Gene Triplehorn, Gene Hackman, Hal Holbrook, Terry Kinney, Wilford Brimley, Ed Harris, Holly Hunter, Gary Busey, David Strathairn, Tobin Bell. He was relevant later, but whatever. Yeah. I like mentioning him. That's an early 90s cast. It's Tom Cruise as the hotshot young lawyer that can go to any firm he wants, ends up in, I believe it's Tennessee somewhere, and then realizes, like, oh, this isn't just lawyering. There's a lot more to it. This is back in prime Grisham era. It's basically like Stephen King in the 80s, where there was an adaptation at least every 2 years.
Yeah, I feel like Tom Clancy was, that heyday was about the same. We had a lot of that Harrison Ford, Jack Ryan stuff.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, Grisham was just on a tear with all sorts of stuff up through the 90s. And this is one of the better ones. Like, I really like Rainmaker was up there, but this was different. Like, a lot of his are more focused on law. This is him, like, I mean, Pelican Brief was a little bit thriller too, but like, this was like just straight up thriller, and the law wasn't as much of a part of it. It was him more of telling a story and not so much fictionalizing a case. So I liked it. I mean, 90s Tom Cruise. I don't think we're ever going to have a movie star like Tom Cruise again, because he's still making movies that are blockbusters. And this is at 93 when he was one of the biggest stars. And here we're 27 years later, he's one of the biggest stars still. I don't know that we're going to see that, because this era of movie stars is way different. He's one of the last ones. And It's one of those where if you doubted Tom Cruise as more than just a pretty face, he's good in this.
Recently, he's had some roles here and there where it's like, oh, Collateral. Tom Cruise, really good actor. In the 90s, like...
Magnolia, for sure.
Yeah, like Born on the 4th of July. He certainly had some performances where, yeah, he was doing big budget stuff still, but he was also doing big time acty stuff. You know, now he just does what he wants.
This was like a mix between the two. Because like what he's doing now, like, you're not going to see Top Gun 2 for his acting. You're not seeing Mission Impossible for his acting.
But this is what he wants to do.
He's turned into Jackie Chan where he's doing, you're going to see him do stunts. I think The Firm is a nice balance of Tom Cruise action star and Tom Cruise like legit actor. He gets to do enough of both.
My number three is mostly just action star behaviors, much like yours, already been mentioned. It is Greg McLean's The Belko Experiment from 2016, starring John Gallagher Jr., John C. McGinley, and Sean Gunn. This was the first movie that came to mind. When you said a job that isn't what it seems, you have a bunch of Americans hired for this seemingly too good to be true office job in Colombia. One random day, we get to see the office romances. Here's the guys that don't get along in the office. So they set up the office dynamics, and then all of a sudden all the Colombians leave and just the Americans are locked in the building. We find out pretty quickly that their job there was just a sham, and now they must kill each other. 50 men enter, one man leave, kind of Thunderdome. Very much Office Space meets the Hunger Games or Battle Royale, whatever you please. The deaths are, some of them are pretty over the top. They can be rather enjoyable. John C. McGinley as this.
Was awesome.
Just it, great I, bad
that's
guy.
John C. McGinley.
Yeah, he makes me think this is the guy from Platoon. He's just transplanted into this movie. I'm not going to say they did a ton of character work in this movie.
They did enough to keep it interesting.
A surprising amount.
Yeah.
We talk about the British movies that don't have a high body count, but they make you care. This has a really high body count.
And they still manage to make you care about a handful of characters.
Yeah. More than you would think. Didn't James Gunn help produce this or something? Yeah, he was behind it for a while.
He wrote it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm always going to be interested in checking something like that out. I saw or listened to John C. McGinley do some press, and I like him. So I was always going to check this one out. A little bit like Bloodsucking Bastards, but more so, it's pretty enjoyable. It's not going to enrich your life, but if you like
if
to watch...
If you can deal with the gore.
Yes. If you like to watch people die horribly, this is a fun one to watch.
Yeah. I mean, that cast, it's got really good actors in like smaller
Melanie
parts.
Melanie Diaz is...
Brent Sexton, who's great on TV. David Dasmalian, who you'd know to see. He's great in everything. Tony Goldwyn is one of the best. Yeah, this one came to mind, but I didn't really put it. I'm kind of glad you did, because it's... I like the ending. The ending is similar, similar. It got me the same feel of The Invitation, where it's like, oh, I didn't expect that.
Yeah.
Like, that was not what I was expecting. So I like that ending of it. This is when John Gallagher Jr. was like, oh, he's going to be a star. Like,
sure.
This, Hush, 10 Cloverfield Lane, like all within like a year or so each other. He was awesome
and
in all of
them. Yeah, that's the thing. It's not like he was bad in anything. He was great in Hush. Liked him in 10 Cloverfield Lane. And this...
It was the least impressive, but he didn't have much to do.
Right.
He just had to survive this one. I thought Melanie Diaz was like the
She's kind of positioned as like, hey, this is your... Right.
Survivor girl.
Well,
but,
nope.
Yeah. My number three...
Don't put your money on that one.
This is one that I'm afraid might be crossover.
If it's crossover, it's my number one, because I don't think you've seen my number two.
It's from 2009.
Nope, we're good.
Directed by Jason Reitman. This is like my number five with Secretary, but minus the sex stuff, about when you take a job and you think your secretary, she just wanted something to get her through her day-to-day life. And Up in the Air from 2009, you have an optimistic Anna Kendrick coming, thinking that the work they're going to do is really good, thinking the traveling is going to be great. And then you realize, like, this is an awful thing that we do. She's partnered with George Clooney to basically go and fire people. That's their job. And she sees what George Clooney is and realizes, I don't want to be that. Like, he's just this guy who gets off on traveling and collecting those miles. And
getting
has
that car. Was it like a platinum diamond or what was he at? He was after some kind of,
and
so close.
No qualms in firing people, like almost takes joy in it because he's just so good at it. And really has no sense of self, no personal life, nothing to go home to because his home is on the road. So you'd get that job coming out of college where it's like, oh, I get to travel the world. I get to do all this stuff. I get to see a bunch. Like, yeah, you're going to be optimistic. And then you're with that Clooney and you see what he is and you see what you're doing. And like, yeah, I could see quitting through text. It's just what that does to a person. And I mean, I used to work on an ambulance for about a year. And then I realized that takes a certain kind of person. You have to be able to laugh at times when maybe you shouldn't be able to, but you have to. Doesn't make you a bad person. It just makes you able to survive. I found myself unable to do that at certain points. So it wasn't for me. And that's this experience she had where like it works for him, kind of like he's existing, but is he really living? That was my number three, maybe a bit of a stretch, but I think for the experience wise.
Right. I don't know that it's a stretch. I mean, the idea of this job isn't what I thought it was. I'm not actually here in Columbia to work in this. I don't even know what they were supposed to be doing. I just feel like they were selling like paper. I honestly feel like it was.
I don't think
just,
it mattered. I don't even think it was ever really explained.
No, it probably wasn't because it's not integral to the plot. Oh, they're there to kill each other. That's much different, obviously. This is a less dramatic version of that. It's the job in theory sounds better than in practice. And there's probably more movies than we think of that are like this. They don't stick out as much as, oh, somebody got into doing something, realized they didn't want to do that at all, wanted to go in a completely different direction because of the job just wasn't what they thought. And that was how we called this episode when you described it to me. I started going down this path with my number one about your boss isn't necessarily who you think. But before I get to my number one, my number two, the aforementioned Tom Cruise was in a movie in 2017 directed by Doug Liman, American Made, where he believes there's no more duplicitous boss to work for than the United States government. And their representative, Donald Gleason, hires Cruise's Barry Seal to essentially infiltrate the drug cartels and run guns. While he's running guns, he figures, well, what the hell? I'm driving a plane back. It was loaded with guns. I might as well load it with drugs from Pablo Escobar and drop that off. So this movie, based on a true story, and it's one that you kind of have to remind yourself that, all right, maybe all the details aren't there. But it's so over the top that if 10% of it's true, holy shit, this guy. And it's a great role for Tom Cruise because he's part Maverick, part Ethan Hunt, part just...
part Tom Cruise.
Yeah, Tom Cruise con guy.
Like, he's got that energy, like the jumping on the couch energy in that whole movie. Like, it fits the tone of the movie.
Absolutely. He smarms his way through a couple scenes where you think, oh, shit's just not going to turn out well for this guy, and... boom, it does. For most of it, it's a pretty lighthearted movie. Gets a little dark at the end. This was a movie I did not expect to care for at all.
It's really good.
Yeah, I think it's really good.
Yeah, this one didn't cross my mind. That's a good one. This came out a few years ago and I think kind of went under the radar because it wasn't Tom Cruise action movie. But
right.
It was really, really good. I mean, I like Doug Liman as a director. I like Tom Cruise. It's one I didn't rush out to see, but I saw it and I loved it.
Neither did I. I think I saw it on HBO at some point.
And it was great. Yeah. It's definitely worth the 2-hour watch. My number two, I'm wondering if it's maybe your number one.
Wouldn't be the first time that happened.
Because it is about what you touched on, as to where maybe it's not the job that isn't what you expect, but it's the boss that isn't what you expect, which kind of trickles down to everything. They say they never leave a bad job, they leave bad manager. This kind of goes to that and to the ladies from 2019's Bombshell, directed by Jay Roach, written by Charles Randolph, about Fox News, about you had your ladies, Megyn Kelly, Gretchen Carlson, and then the added for movie, Kayla Popsil. Just TV ladies, want to work in TV, want to get the news out to the world, want to be fair and balanced, but somebody else just wants to balance them over a chair. It's about the
Roger Ailes being a
Roger
pervert.
Ailes, yeah, it's not as good as The Loudest Voice with Russell Crowe as Roger Ailes, but it's, I hate to say this, it's kind of a fun movie. For a movie about this topic, they did a good job of the pacing and everything. It's lighter than it should be, than you would expect, but it works. But that's mostly because Nicole Kidman as Gretchen Carlson and Charlize Theron is just ridiculous as Megyn Kelly. Like, it's easy to forget that you're watching Charlize Theron because you just hate her so much. like I hate Megyn Kelly. Margot Robbie's good. John Lithgow's good, but it's hard to...
Because there
I'm
was
comparing
another,
him against yeah. one of the best acting performances I've ever seen. But it's a good movie. Like, Kate McKinnon's in there, and it's a quality watch. They made it way more entertaining than it should have been.
I have not seen this yet, but I have heard it described, and I thought it was, in theory, pretty fair. No matter how you feel about Fox News, it's not going to go far enough either way. Like, if you love Fox News, you're not really going to like this movie. And if you hate Fox News, they don't really trash Fox, so you're not going to like it for that reason. It's just, I mean, for lack of a better word, it's fair and balanced. It's not about necessarily Fox News. Is it good or bad? It's like, oh, this guy was doing some scummy shit. Is that accurate?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, yeah, it wasn't. It had all the ammo to just be a smear piece.
Right.
But that's not the story it wanted to tell. It wanted to tell it from the ladies' point of view, essentially. And, you know, they obviously loved Fox News. That's where they worked. They were proud of their job. It wasn't a hit piece when it could have been. But even The Loudest Voice, I don't think, came off. It was more brutal. And it did a good job of showing, like, yeah, he was like this because nobody put him in check. He'd come up with an idea that's awful, and there was nobody there saying, yeah, let's not do that. There was everybody being like, well, how do we do that? So this didn't get into that part of it as much. This focused more on his behavior with them, whereas Loudest Voice was about Fox News and the sex stuff. So, yeah, that's accurate.
My number one, also a Charlize Theron movie, although admittedly, she's billed well behind the two leads, Al Pacino and Keanu Reeves, in Taylor Hackford's The Devil's Advocate from 1997.
I love this movie so
much.
It's
fucking great. This wasn't the first movie that came to mind, but very much, I honestly didn't think I was working for the literal fucking devil.
Wow. I don't know how to skip my... I love this movie.
Yeah. It's made a couple of our lists. I think most recently it made our Charlize Theron list. I think we've done Keanu too. And this would be, as far as Keanu the actor, I mean, I think peak Keanu for me. His character, Kevin Lomax, is this naive young lawyer, a bit like Tom Cruise from The Firm. Lomax is willing to do just about anything and everything to advance his career in this firm. He sees Pacino's character and he thinks, that's it. That's the guy I want to be. That's Gordon Gekko, whoever it is. Like, this is what success means. I need to emulate my life to achieve this. And then as we get into the movie and Lomax becomes a little less naive and sees more what's going on, you know, they have that showdown there at the end where everything is revealed. I mean, it's heavy on the melodrama, but it's the actual most on-the-nose embodiment of, oh, this is really not what I signed up for. And if I can put The Devil's Advocate on a list, I will.
Yeah, Matt, I didn't think about this because I would have had this
I'm
over.
I'm glad you didn't.
I'd have had this over most of these. My number one is one that I have put on any list I can, but I don't know how many I've been able to squeak it on. I know we did a favorite speeches episode, and I made Ryan read Ben Affleck's speech from Ben Younger's Boiler Room from 2000. Giovanni Ribisi runs a casino. You know, he's not living on the straight and narrow, and then he gets offered a Wall Street job and thinks, like, oh, this is where I turn it around. Like, I'm getting clean and I'm going straight. Turns out it's a con job. They're not selling legit stocks. They're just ripping people off. And it's that conscience. It's how he reacts to it. It's a young Vin Diesel. It's Nia Long. It's Ben Affleck in the Alec Baldwin role from Glengarry Glen Ross, where he just shows up in a couple of scenes and just is intense. It's got Nikki Catt and Scott Kahn, Jamie Kennedy, like Taylor Nichols. It's an awesome cast. Tom Everett Scott from 2000 was great. This is one of those that just hit me at the right time. I was young, not doing the smartest stuff. I was day trading at the time, so I had like stock experience. This movie about shady college age kids that are making money, like, yeah, I want to do that. So it hit me. It's not just a nostalgia movie for me because I'll rewatch it and it's really good. The whole dynamic of everything between Ribisi and Nikki Cab, between Ribisi and Vin Diesel, it's a really good movie and I still love it to this day. It just happened to be one of those that just hit me at the exact right spot at the right time, and it stuck with me since.
Yeah, this one I knew was going to be your number one, so I was certainly going to stay away from it. Glengarry Glen Ross is kind of my version of that, But I had a tough time trying to put that on the list because it's...
They knew what they were...
Yeah, they knew what they were doing. It just so happened that one night everything kind of changed and like, ah, well, two people are getting fired here.
Like, I almost put Wall Street, but like, yeah. To me, to have Wall Street and Boiler Room on the same list is almost like... I know, like, Wall Street's a classic. Like, it's regarded... But they're the same movie to me because they are...
Just a little bit of a different industry.
Yeah, different industry, but, like, thematically and arc-wise, they're the same movie. Wall Street and Boiler Room, you could tell Younger really modeled it after that. I love Wall Street. Gordon Gekko is one of the great characters of all time, and you have the dynamic with his dad and everything with Charlie Sheen, and it's just a really good movie. The only other also-ran I had was... It didn't really work. I had Working Girl with Melanie Griffith.
Yeah.
She takes over pretending to be the boss. And that was
like proactive.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. That was a more like, I'm not who you expect me to be. Then the job isn't what I... But I mean, she did learn a lot about the industry from there. Devil Wears Prada was in the atmosphere, but like, I just
a dick boss.
Yeah. It wasn't a bad boss list. So it was... This list was tricky. I took some turns and I got there. Did you have any also-rans that you left off?
I started pulling at this thread of like, what's a job? People get paid to do something. So you think you're getting paid for one thing, and as it turns out, it's something completely different. And what I like to do with my number fives is really recent movie that fits into that.
Like Bombshell.
Yeah, like Bombshell. We have already talked about it off mic, Escape Room from last year. These people get paid or they're offered a lot of money if they can solve an escape room. Oh, yeah, no big deal. Let's go do it. This will be fun. I'm really smart. I'm great at puzzles. And then they start dying.
Yeah, like because I thought about
it. But I didn't want to go down that road because there's probably a lot of those movies.
Because I had thought like, okay, what about crime movie where you're hired to do this job and it turns off you're ripping off somebody that you didn't know and you're working for somebody that you... But then I thought like that would be a whole other list if I went to it. So I didn't want it to be like bad con jobs or anything like that.
It very easily could have turned into a lot of different things.
I wanted the confines of an office pretty much. Like I wanted it to essentially be like a 9-to-5 job that isn't what you thought it was.
Yeah, I mean, like the only one I didn't have an office job was American Made. He had a hanger.
Yeah.
Had an office.
So that was our favorite... whatever workplace movies. I think I wrote it on the calendar was favorite shady workplace movies. And I never explain them, but I, in parentheses, put when a character works somewhere that ends up not being what they seem. That was how I had
the most exposition we've got on any list ever.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Cause I usually just put
them
on
there. Not
sure
if it helped.
No, I don't think it did. It didn't help me. And I'm the one that came up with the list idea. So next week we have one that's a little bit more straightforward. Birds of Prey comes out. That stars Margot Robbie, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, Journey Smollett-Bell, Bojan Novakovic, Ali Wang, Rosie Perez, and the little girl that plays Cassandra Cain. She hasn't been in much. I can't remember her name. So we're doing our favorite movies from those people.
So you're going to be really pissed when I have 5 Ewan McGregor movies.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. I think we've done that. We've done Ewan, I think. I guess we'll find out. Until next week.
Keep it up.